You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 142. And our guest today is Nicole. Now, if you haven't listened to the show before, I do have to say this thing, and I kind of start all the shows the same way saying this, but it has to be said so that you understand the format. What we do is, when we arrange to have a guest on the show, how it works is that someone emails or contacts and says, I'd love to volunteer to be a guest on the show and bring a dream. And we say, that's fantastic. We will phone you or Skype you, we'll record it. But the only thing that I don't want to know is anything about the dream. So then we call the caller, as we have just done with Nicole, and she tells me the dream, and we talk about the dream, interpret it, do the alchemy, check with her about how it relates to her life, and have a lot of fun with that along the way, as well as, of course, you being able to pick up lots of dream interpretation tips, as well as be inspired by what the dreamer is learning about life and what the dreamer is doing. So that's the thing. And then when we've recorded that, we come back and I add this bit to the beginning and I add a bit to the end. So that's how I can tell you that our guest Nicole's dream today features snakes in a different way to the kind of way snake dreams will often go. You know, a lot of people's snake dreams, you wake up as soon as you see the snake because it's so scary. I'm not going to tell you any more, except that this is a really beautiful dream. This is a lovely dream. It's very interesting. It's very insightful. And you are going to really enjoy it. And you're going to enjoy Nicole's reactions too. So just before we switch to, so that you can listen to that whole interaction, I do, of course, like to give the websites first. The websites are all mine. Although in this case, towards the end of Nicole's dream, she mentions a website of her own that she's just about to launch. And when I spoke to her after the recording, she said she would be very happy for you all to go along and see her new website. So I'll give that at the end of this show. So my websites, if you want to contact me, either to get a lot more information about dreams or to book an appointment to talk to me about your dream by Skype or phone, where we can go even deeper than we do in a podcast where we're really being careful because we know everybody's listening in. Or if you want to buy my books or whatever, or if you want to listen to all the other episodes of The Dream Show, that's the other 141 of them, go to my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or you can go to my website at www.dream.net.au. Or you can go direct to my shop at www.janetheresaanderson.com. All those are interlinked. They all lead to the same place in the end. Or, of course, find me on Facebook. So that's it. Here's Nicole. Welcome to The Dream Show, Nicole.
Thanks, Jane Theresa. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And how's your day been so far?
It's been great. It's a beautiful day here in Brisbane, and the sun's shining, so it's all good.
It is, isn't it? I've got the sun shining here through the window. I love it. It just lifts the heart. It goes zing.
It does. We've had such gorgeous weather.
Yeah. Now, as usual, of course, I have no idea what you've been dreaming. I don't know if you've had a gorgeous weather dream or a scary dream or anything at all, but yeah. Nicole, the floor is all yours now to tell me about your dream.
Okay, here we go. All right. I was on a property in a wooden house, standing by the window, and I looked out and the yard was covered in massive pythons of all different colours. And I hated that feeling because I'm scared of snakes. And it was quite frightening actually to see the yard like that, and I was a bit frozen. But then I saw a saber-toothed tiger in the background.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
As you do. And it stared at me and then looked at the snakes and then disappeared into the bush. And then I heard all this noise, and it was people coming, and it was like I was living in a little village, and they're all coming into my house, and they came into the room where I was standing, and the room was all white. And I looked up and they're going, look, look. And they pointed to the ceiling, and on the ceiling were all these sparkles, like sparkles of light. And then it was almost like they looked like pressure points, because then the ceiling came away and in came a huge python.
Oh.
But this one was silver and purple, and it almost looked like a unicorn. It was like a cross between a unicorn and a snake sort of thing. And everyone's ooing and ahhing at it, and I was actually quite amused by it. I wasn't scared about it right then, and it was very bizarre. I'm just looking at everybody going, look at the python. And there was kids, adults, old people. It was like a collection of all different types of people, and it was just fascinating. And then and then I woke up and I was like, oh, that was interesting.
That's fabulous in the literal sense of the word as well, with a unicorn in there. Oh, that's great, Nicole. When did you have the dream?
It was a week ago, and it stayed with me ever since. It's just been really strong. So, yeah.
I'm not surprised. How wonderful. Do you often have dreams with animals in them?
I dream about everything.
Everything?
If I could put it into a movie, it'd be quite incredible. I have a very vivid imagination.
Oh, that's fantastic. I will ask you some questions about the dream before we go into it in just a minute. But just for you and for all our listeners, the dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours before the dream. So your dream is processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of those last 2 days. So because you had the dream a week ago, this is reflecting the couple of days before that.
Yeah.
So that's the pinpoint time. Yeah. So a couple of questions. At the beginning, you said you were in a property in a wooden house. What kind of size was the house? Can you describe it a little bit more?
Well, I was actually in the room, so I didn't have a sense of the house itself. I could see, you know how houses have like an L shape, some houses. I was looking out the window, I could see the side of the house on the other side, and it was like a log house, you know, like an old-fashioned log house. Yeah, it was like that. So I could see the edge of it like that. So I knew I was in the log house, but I was in this room that was all white and clean. So it was like it was new.
Really clean and new. So you got the impression on the L shape that the kind of part of the L that you were in was all new. And was the other L a more an older part or just an old-fashioned style?
Just an old-fashioned style.
Right, okay. So you've got an old-fashioned style on one side, and you're not sure whether the bit you were standing in was old-fashioned or new-fashioned on the outside, but it felt all new inside, yeah?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And have you ever lived in a house like that?
Yes, I have, actually. I have lived in a house like that probably about 15 years ago now.
15 years ago. And when you think back to that house that you lived in 15 years ago, did it have a similar kind of energy and feel to the one in the dream, or was it quite different?
It was different. It was the house I lived in was quite small. It was only a two bedroom and study sort of house tucked up into the bush. But this one felt quite open and expansive, because I could see it seemed wider if from a perspective point of view, because as I was looking out, the yard was quite large where the grassed area was before the bush started.
That's lovely. So if you could capture the personality of the if a house has a personality, the one from your dream.
Yeah.
I think I've got it from what you said, but if you'd like to say a little bit more, what's the personality of that kind of house?
Well, down to earth, I would probably say, and grounded is what's coming to me. But no, that's just the way I could sort of see it.
That's perfect. Look, in dream work, it's whatever comes to you. And I love the fact that you answered straight away. You know, the moment if you ask a question about a dream and the person's going, oh, pause for thought, thinking, no, this is not going to be the right answer. This is a, oh, I don't know, what do I think answer. It's the first answer that feels. So there's not necessarily any logic in it. But I know that you've given the right answer, because straight away you've described the house as down to earth and grounded and down there. And you notice how some of your dream features, in fact, the breakthrough part of your dream features a wonderful thing that comes through the ceiling. So straight away, we've got two opposites there. We're going to do a lot more in the dream than this. But most dreams, when you look at them, have at least one set of opposites. So we've got this feeling of something up high and something up low coming together to create something balanced and beautiful.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So right at the beginning of the dream is often, not always, but often kind of describes, is your dreaming brain's way of describing the situation that you're processing while you sleep. So it's like here's a stage drama, let's open the curtains if it's a traditional play, and what is this play about today, where do we begin? So yours kind of begins with, I'm in a place that kind of... in a way reminds me of where I was at 15 years ago, but it's different. It's really quite different. Where I was at 15 years ago was really quite small, whereas where I am now, it feels clean, it feels new, it feels open, it feels expansive. You even said to me, the perspective is wider. So
yes.
Where I feel today, I actually feel my, Nicole's, perspective, not just physical, but mental, emotional, spiritual perspective, is much wider than it was 15 years ago. And yet it feels down to earth and grounded. So that is, I say yet, I mean, that's actually a plus, you know. Yay, I haven't just got this wide open, looking up at the skies and the heavens, wonderful, open, yeah, isn't life wonderful? It's grounded as well. It's down to earth and it's grounded. So that's kind of the situation. And straight away, you're standing there and the feeling that this room is white and clean almost suggests that you've come to a point in your life, or particularly in those last couple of days, where you were looking at what is clean, what is renewed, what is fresh. Mm-hmm. And there also you were looking through a window. So we've also got that feeling of a perspective. I'm looking through a window to see what I can see. What's the view?
Okay.
Yeah. So even before we go any further, just an aside to anyone that's listening in that this is the first time you've encountered me or this show, just to mention that you can't go to a dream dictionary and look up a symbol. You know, a window in your dream, Nicole, would be quite different from a window in anybody else's dream. It all depends on the overall drama and all the other aspects of the dream. But having said that, quite often you'll be at a window in a dream, and if you actually say, oh, I was at a window looking out at the view, then, you know, we commonly in our dreaming space go, oh, what's my view? What's my perspective in life? Oh, let me paint a picture of that in dream terms. That's a bit like standing at a window looking out at the view, isn't it? So,
so it's from the observer's perspective, so and everyone's different, is that what you mean?
That's right, yes. So just before going into it further, I may ask you to clarify this later, but when you think back 15 years to when you lived in that other house, was that a specific time for you that you can look back and go, oh, yes, I know that time?
Yes, I know that time very well.
Okay. we'll come back to that.
Okay.
So everything looks wonderful, everything's clean, everything's new, everything's ready to go. And there may even be a thing in that L-shaped house as well, because dreams can quite amazingly, and in ways that defy logic, have several different parallel meanings. Could be L for learner, like here's something new that I'm learning as well. So we've got this wonderful clean thing, but the very next thing that happens is, pythons in my yard!
Yes.
And it wasn't like the end of a dream with, oh, look at all those lovely pythons in the yard.
No.
No. And you actually were frozen in the dream. So, you know, when we have fear in a dream, our physical bodies do actually produce adrenaline even while we're asleep. So your body probably went into the fear freeze state. So you would have actually felt that as well. So pythons, talk to me about pythons. What's the personality of a python?
Slippery and slimy. Well, they're slippery and slimy and scary from a viewing angle, but I guess pythons aren't dangerous per se. Well, they're known to not be so dangerous as, say, like a brown snake or something like that. They're very, very large and dominating, I guess, in their physicality. So that's how I see pythons, as something. It's like I'm scared of it, even though I know it's not going to hurt me. That
yes,
makes sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So and that's really beautifully put. So there's that feeling of I'm in this new space. It's nice and clean. I have this wide open perspective. Yet it's down to the earth and grounded. And I'm looking at something that probably in the past has been very scary to me. But I know, even though I can feel the fear, even though my body, my physical reaction is fear because I've got the freeze, my bodily reaction is fear. I know in my mind, in my soul, that that although this looks scary, you said the view of it is scary, when they're up close, yeah, they're not as scary as it could be if they were brown snakes.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And you said they can be dominating, have a, yes, dominating feeling, but I know that they're not as scary as they could be.
Yes.
So in a sense, you're looking out at something in this new situation that I'm in, where I actually feel grounded and everything feels good. I'm looking at something that in the past and at the moment in the present, at this stage in the dream, is quite scary for me, but I'm ready to look at it. I notice its variety, you know, there are all different colours there. It's yeah. This is something that's got a lot of variety. And after that point in the dream, there was a lot of emphasis on variety as well. There's a lot of variety. That's really important. And it's got an energy of something that can be dominating. Did you say dominating or domineering? You did say dominating, didn't you?
Yeah.
Can be dominating, but it's probably not as scary as it sounds. Now, everything in a dream, everyone and everything in a dream reflects something about the dreamer, whether it's something about yourself or something about the way that you perceive the world, which is all to do with yourself as well, of course.
Yeah.
So you're looking at something, and on the surface, if you look back at the last couple of days before the dream, Nicole, on yeah. the surface, it may have been a feeling of looking at somebody or some situation and thinking, they're a bit dominating. They're dominating the conversation, or it's just dominating my thoughts or whatever.
Mm.
It may at one level look like that, or it may on a deeper level, you may have already registered, funnily enough, I'm perceiving something as dominating all other things, or I'm seeing someone as dominating a conversation, and that's because I'm not stepping in and,
yeah,
and undominating it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's looking, and there are many other possibilities of the energy of dominating. So it's that feeling in the stage of the dream, dominating, or issues around dominate. What's the opposite? What's your gut feel for the opposite to dominating?
Actually, the first word that came to my mind was vulnerable.
Vulnerable, yeah, that would be good. And we'd be very vulnerable to snakes normally, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you take dominating on one end of the spectrum and vulnerable on the other end of the spectrum, and just step back from it a long way and think, in life, if we all had the perfect handle every day, every moment, wouldn't that be great? We'd all be standing on that continuum about dead in the middle, like the Chinese middle path.
Yeah.
You know, where we'd be not really completely dominating and not really completely vulnerable, but we'd be able to be in touch with our vulnerability, and we'd be in touch with what it might be like to be dominating.
Yes.
if you're to explain that in another way, because I know you get it, Nicole, but for people listening, if you were brought up in a household where you had very dominating parents, for example, there are usually two possible outcomes for your personality. One is that you become dominating too, because that's what you've been taught, or the other one is that you become and more likely often extremely vulnerable, because you've had to work a whole childhood around dealing with dominating parents, and you really get in touch with your vulnerability. So often in any issue, if a thing is an issue, we're often at one extreme or the other, and the ideal thing is for those two energies, in this case dominating or feeling dominated, vulnerable or worried about making other people feel vulnerable, bringing those energies together, integrating them in a way that there's a nice balance within yourself.
Yeah, well,
that
makes sense.
It does. So you, because your dream has a really lovely resolution and a lovely feeling at the end, it's almost like you came to terms with this, if not consciously, unconsciously, in the couple of days before the dream, and the dream is running it through, locking it in, updating your unconscious beliefs and so on. So you've got that feeling of, just recapitulating for the moment, I'm in this lovely new space. I'm so much has happened since 15 years ago. Like I'm touching on 15 years, so much has changed. I'm open, I'm wide. The perspective is wonderful and it's also grounded. Isn't this fabulous? Look at this new perspective. I'm looking at this thing that used to be so scary to me, and it's still, my physical body is still scared by it. And it's to do with variety. It's across the board. It is scary, and it's to do with an issue of dominating versus vulnerability, but this time I'm really ready to do something about it.
Oh, it's so relevant.
Oh, good. At this point, I'm always itching to know what it's about.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm open to that too. I'm open to sharing.
Yeah. I have to say, a small point of difference. When I'm doing this as a consultation at this stage, I would have already asked the person, well, what is it you're relating to? Because you make faster progress that way. But in the dream show, we although we come to that point, we do it more of it as an illustration of to begin with, just so that everyone's following it as what the dream means. Because when it's not your dream, it can be harder to follow otherwise.
That's true.
Yeah. So at that point, Nicole, and I'm so glad that you resonate with it, where you think, okay, I'm kind of... this is something that isn't as scary, that your breakthrough is something that I thought used to think of as scary actually isn't as scary. It's still scary, but it's not as scary. And that's the point at which another energy comes into your dream, and you describe the saber-toothed tiger as being in the background. So it's almost like there's this background thought that comes up, hang on a minute, maybe this isn't as scary. And because the saber-toothed tiger stared at you and then disappeared, it's almost like you've got a kind of eye-to-eye contact. This is, you know, how like the eyes are the window to the soul.
Yes. Right?
So it's like, this is a part of myself, the saber-toothed tiger, or this is a thought or a feeling or an energy or belief that I am directly connecting with now.
Wow.
Yeah, so tell me about a saber-toothed tiger. What's the personality of a saber-toothed tiger without even thinking about it?
I just see strong, and I see powerful, and also a little bit a little bit frightening, but not completely frightening for some reason. I don't know why. It just came through, so I don't want to filter.
No, that's absolutely perfect, Nicole. That's lovely. So in that last bit, it's important, a little bit frightening. It is connecting with the same energy as the pythons. They're scary, but they're not as scary as I thought.
Yeah, because when I looked at him, I thought, wow, he's powerful and a little bit scary, but he also looks beautiful.
Yeah, good. That's lovely. Mm. And notice how the saber-toothed tiger has, although he has two fangs, and the snake has how many? Oh, the snake has two fangs too. Yeah. So I couldn't pick at the time. I was picturing one tongue, but then of course two fangs. So you've got that. What you've got happening there is a transformation. Even though the pythons are still in the dream, you've got a progression of your thinking and feeling. So you've got a progression from snake, not as scary as it looks, but still pretty scary, to saber-toothed tiger. So you've got the fangs connecting the two. Still frightened, a little bit frightened. So you say they're a little bit frightened, whereas for the snakes it was not as scary as they could be. So it's kind of a little bit less fear. But I'm sure you noted what you said there. The saber-toothed tiger is strong and powerful. Would that be in a dominating way or less than dominating? What describe that strength and power?
The first word is leadership. It's a leader, or I don't know, that's what's coming through. So
beautiful.
Just a presence, a presence, an aura of strength, and I'm here sort of thing.
That's so lovely. And I'm here is so presence, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because leadership qualities, there are a lot of people who, throughout history, I guess, who have gone down in history as leaders and seem to be actually extremely dominating.
in the old way of leading.
That's right. And usually for a person to be that dominating actually means they're incredibly vulnerable underneath, and the only way they can protect themselves is to be super dominating. But it's not a good leadership style. It tells people what to do instead of leading them to grow themselves, doesn't it?
Definitely.
So the kind of energy that you've attributed to the saber-toothed tiger there is really idealized leadership energy, strong, powerful by being a presence. I'm here, but not dominating. Is that right?
He just looked beautiful. I don't know. It's just weird. It's like, there he is.
That's lovely.
It's like looking in his eyes, and it's like, but he's really pretty. Like, he's beautiful. That's all I can see.
Yeah, that's beautiful, admiring the beauty in him. I mean, he does have the power with one lunge of his teeth in the back of the neck to kill, but he actually disappears.
Yes.
Where did he go?
Into the bush. He just kind of looked and then turned and then took off, and then that was the end of it.
Okay, yeah. That's good. So what emerged from that feeling of there's something in my life now that in the past has seemed very scary to me, but it's now I realise it's less scary the closer I get to it, and it's to do with maybe getting a sense of more balance between dominating energies and vulnerable energies within myself and within the way I look at the world. From that emerges from the bush a powerful sense of leadership, a sense of, and you particularly emphasize presence, and I'm here, a sense of being in the moment, just being the strong, powerful leader.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. And you're going, wow, I always thought I was like, you're thinking, I always thought I was like that, but now I know I'm like that. And if I wasn't like that before, I can really be like that because that is beautiful.
Wow, that's interesting.
So then there's all this noise because you realise you're in a village. So was that just the noise of the people or what?
Yes, all the people were coming. They're all coming to see my house and well, they're coming to see the, I don't know, the snakes, I guess. They're all coming to see whatever it is they're going to see.
So what kind of noise? What was it, jubilant noise or chatter or is this?
Yeah, it was fascination, absolute fascination. They're all like, oh, you know, because when they came into the room, it was like, oh, look. And I couldn't see what they were seeing until they pointed up to the ceiling. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, and then I look up and that's when I saw. But there were kids there. There were older people there. There were people from all different nationalities. It was just like a big eclectic mix of people. Mm. And it had, I guess it had a vibrant energy to it and fascination.
So eclectic, vibrant and fascinating. Mm. And when you think about that group of people, there was no real, there was no demographic missing, no type of people missing.
It was everybody.
All inclusive, that's great. So in a sense, that group of people at one level, on a slightly more superficial level, still real but superficial, can represent the world out there, the people out there, how I'm going to interact with them. And although I say superficial, it is real, that is true. But on a much deeper level, and it's the deeper understanding that really gets us places, simply because the way we look at the world is and the way we perceive the world and the way we interact and respond to it is a reflection of where we are ourselves. So by looking inside helps us to understand what we're seeing outside. So there's a sense of, at this point within you, even though it takes, hey, look, have a look, you're not seeing this. You suddenly see all that within yourself, and eclectic, far more eclectic. You may have thought you were eclectic, but whoa, this is more eclectic than I realized. This is more vibrant than I realized. This is totally fascinating because before, my eclectic nature, my vibrant nature, my fascination with life that I thought I had was actually a little bit restricted, a little bit limited by that fear of dominating versus and how to be a leader.
You are good.
I've been doing it a long time, but every dream is completely different, and that's why I'm so blessed to be able to do what I love here. I'm as excited about everybody's dream as like you are. And I look and I go, oh wow, look at that dream. I'm so excited. It's the same as, you know, the sparkles of light on your ceiling. That's, to me, looking at a dream is like that. So we've only got a little last bit to put together, though I'm sure you've got the message now. And even though before putting that bit together, you know, when I say message, dreams aren't there to give us a message. Dreams are there to show us where we're up to in the way that we're processing life. And then you can look in on that and go, oh, that's interesting. I'm happy with that. That's going in the right direction. Or that's interesting. That is a really positive perception. I want to increase that. Or you can go, that's interesting. I can see there's an unconscious belief or behavior pattern there that is limiting me. Let's change that. So that's the sense in which the message is there.
Wow.
Yeah. So that last bit, of course, you know, you become in this dream because it's reflecting, but it's reflecting, either reflecting a breakthrough in the couple of days before it, or it's reflecting the breakthrough that happens while your dreamy mind is processing the last couple of days. It can happen that way too, that it suddenly goes, oh, this all fits together in a completely new pattern.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yes,
too.
And that's when we can wake up and go, oh, I just had a really good idea, or I feel different. So,
oh, that's so relevant.
Yeah. So just this last little bit, there's a sense of, again, being even more open and expansive than you realize, because you get in touch with this this eclectic, vibrant, fascinating aspect of yourself, and the way that you look up too, it's balancing that lovely grounded feeling. I am so feeling so grounded now that I'm really more than ever ready to look up, either to look up to my mind, but probably more than that, to look up to my spiritual understanding of life, or look up to where I get my spiritual sustenance from, and invite that in because I've got something to ground it. I can open to it more because I've got grounding. Yeah. And I love when you looked up to that, even though it was something beautiful, it was like sparkles of light for me to understand things. You also noticed, you said it was like pressure points. So to me then, there's also a release of, what did you mean by pressure point? Describe
it. It looked like something was about to come through, which was the snake, but a snake is it's not like a four-legged animal where it has specific pressure points. It's all pressure.
Oh, right. Okay, that's
but
great.
The sparkles looked like pressure points. They just looked like that was the bit that was coming in.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it came down. Yeah.
That's really lovely. Okay. So it's something that's got an energy of its own. It's going to come through regardless. It feels, when you say that, a bit like a birth. This thing's going to come through regardless of what's happening. Because first of all, I was thinking, because you mentioned pressure point, and sometimes the unconscious mind will choose certain words when describing a dream to add a bit more information. And so there may also be a kind of sidetrack there about some feelings you've had in the past about being under pressure to, or not under pressure, or pressuring yourself to explore more the spiritual kind of aspects of your understanding. But this is something that's been born from all that, because the fear is being removed, not taken away, but being removed.
Or managed or something, or allowed. I mean, fear's always there, but
that's right. I mean, you know, things can still be scary, but it's having the courage to look at them, because of so much, your life is so much richer if you do, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
So your python that came through, so it's almost like, this is what I originally saw as a great big fear that actually maybe isn't as frightening, maybe not as scary as I thought it was, and has a lot of potential, comes through, eventually breaks through to you in silver and purple. So what do those colours mean to you?
Well, when I saw it and those colours, to me it was almost like a childlike fascination.
Mm.
It just seemed magical and childlike. That's what's coming through.
That's lovely. Yeah. And would the unicorn fit into that too, or do you have other feelings about a unicorn?
No, when I think of a unicorn, I think of a toy. I know, and this sounds funny, but you know you see a silver, like a little kid's got a silver unicorn, and it's silver and purple or something. I don't know. That's the first thing that came into my mind when I saw it come through. It was like, oh, wow. I wasn't thinking of the unicorn itself in its physical form, but more of it in a toy. I don't know.
So was
just what came through.
No, that's beautiful. Was the silver and purple python? Was it? It wasn't a toy though. It had energy in it, but it felt toy-like as well. Felt childlike.
It felt childlike and fascinating. I was like amused by it. I was like, what's this?
Oh, that's really, right. You were amused.
Really funny. Yeah.
So I wanted to have a real, without even thinking about this one, did you have a toy unicorn when you were small, or did somebody else?
Not me, no. Never had a toy unicorn. I've seen them from, you know, people's friends, relatives, children, but I never had one, no.
And is somebody coming to mind right now, one of those friends' children that's got a little toy unicorn?
No, just generally. It's just a general sense, not a specific. It doesn't seem to be specific related.
Yeah.
Just childlike.
And if you think of your house, have you got any toys from childhood decorating any special corners?
No, I used to. I got rid of them all.
Right. Why did you?
My mum.
No.
No.
Okay. So when you think of a toy, if you were to put a toy unicorn in the corner of your room at the moment, how would you feel it? Would you hide it if people came to visit?
No, because I probably would have years ago, but I'm very open about who I am now, a lot more comfortable with just being rather than trying to be something else. I feel very comfortable in myself right now.
That's
but years
lovely.
Ago, yes, I would have hidden it for sure.
So do you feel that with being comfortable with who you are now, do you easily show a childlike, fascinating, a fascinated child energy?
I'm always childlike. I'm a big kid, basically. I'm fascinated by life. I'm fascinated by things, people, places, events. I love learning. I love exploring. Yeah, life's a big adventure to me.
Okay, that's lovely. So you've got that sense at the end of the dream, as you say, life's a big adventure to me. You've got that sense at the end of the dream that now that all this wonderful stuff has kind of birthed from the ceiling to balance the floor stuff and all of this stuff is happening, your dreamy mind has filed that away with, yes, this is my childlike fascination, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And the amusement and something that, and because all the people are there, then also it's that feeling of this is my energy, this is good.
It felt good.
Yeah. So just one last question before asking what's actually happening. When you think of that lovely, fascinating, childlike energy that you've got, when did that shift for you? When did that finally break through that you felt comfortable to show that?
After my divorce.
Oh, I wonder why.
Oh, I don't mean that horrible. My ex-husband was a lovely person, just not right for me. But yeah. I felt like I could be free. I felt like I could breathe and just be me. And it's okay. Like I didn't need to apologize for who I am.
That's really lovely.
Felt comfortable.
That's what children are like a little bit when they're when they have fortunate circumstances, isn't it? That they don't have to apologise for being me because hey, they're the only person that exists.
Yeah, well, that's true. They're so sure. They're so present.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, that dream really has a very positive ending, Nicole. So of course, there is a lot more we could go into, but that's the essence of it. So would you like to share with us some of your thoughts about?
Yes, because it's made me even more excited now.
Oh, good.
I'm starting a new project with work, and I'm actually creating an online TV show for women who want to get and stay healthy and fit. And it's been a passion of mine for as long as I can remember. And I've always wanted to do it, but the timing was never right. And I didn't have the resources and the knowledge or the skill or what have you. And it's all culminated in the past 2 weeks, actually. And just when I had that dream, that I was at that point going, oh, you know, I was creating a website and, you know, it was like, oh, this is really going to come to to fruition. And, and so it's all so relevant. It's so relevant. And the fear, definitely, there's always that fear there of starting something new and will people like what I'm doing? And, you know, my biggest concern is it going to help enough people? Can I get a message out and all that sort of stuff? And I always have fears that, you know, you have sometimes fears that you're not good enough or what you're doing, people are just going to go, oh no, that's silly. What are you thinking? But now it feels right in my gut, and I usually process in my head a lot. In the past I've done that, and it never serves me well, but now I'm trying to get in touch with my gut feelings and saying, does this feel good? And if it feels good, then I need to trust and know that it's right. And so that dream and what you've described just solidified that all for me. So I'm even more excited now.
That makes a lot of sense, because if you think about the ceiling above you and then the fact of down to earth and grounded of the house, and you're standing in that room, you know, your gut is kind of not quite in the middle, but around the middle there. So, and as you say, you know, I just scribbled down as you said that in the past people might have said, oh, that's silly. What were you thinking, you know, of things that you're trying to get across? And we could say silly childlike. So it's like you've also then gone, well, no, I, Nicole, in the past have judged what may be childlike and fascinating as silly. And now I, Nicole, say, no, actually, that's not silly. This is a lovely energy to play with. And that feeling in the dream, as you say there, of what comes through the ceiling, you know, you've said in the past, maybe I've been too much in my head. So as well as a spiritual aspect, it's like what is now breaking through from my head is not staying up there in the ceiling. It's not a silly idea up there in the ceiling. It's something vibrant and wonderful that is breaking through and is coming into my life and coming down towards the floor. It's becoming grounded. So I can say to people, no, it's not silly. No, it's not all in my head. What I'm actually sharing with you now that I've processed it through my gut and feel good about it is something that's actually, you know, present and fascinating and wonderful. And has a beautiful, eclectic, vibrant energy about it that I want to share with you. It's a comfort with things not being silly, but being, you know, wonderful. Wow. Yeah. So what was the connection with 15 years ago?
Well, 15 years ago, I was in my marriage, and I felt constricted, and not from my husband, but from my own choices about who I was. And I was always apologetic, and I've always been eclectic and childlike in my nature. And I always felt like I had to be super, super professional and super perfect and all those kinds of things, when in fact, I just love to have fun and engage. And it was almost like I didn't have permission to do that back then.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm older and hopefully have learned lessons along the way that it's okay just to be who you are. And it's been a huge eye opener for me, because, you know, for so many years I just hid who I was because I had to have this persona of no, you have to be, you know, super, super, you know, clever and intelligent from a business perspective. You can't show that fun side because it's not business-like, you know.
Yeah.
Where that's just not me. I'm an eclectic mix of, I love business, but I also love fun things and I love life, and I am eclectic, so it's almost like an acceptance of it's okay to be eclectic.
That's absolutely beautiful. All of that is beautiful, and welcome to a lovely world. And I also like the fact that you mentioned there that when you were in that marriage 15 years ago, you felt constricted, and as you acknowledged in a lovely way, you know, through your own ways of responding in the world. But just tell me, in case you missed it, how a python kills.
Constricts. Mm. Wow. Isn't that interesting?
It is. So when you're looking out at all those pythons in the yard, and particularly all the different colours, it's like these are all the different ways in which in the past, through fear, through not being able to face the fear, I have constricted myself.
Wow.
And that it is huge. And now that is less scary. So the conditions under which I have constricted myself in the past are not as scary to me now, because I've done all the work, or I've made all these breakthroughs where I can see that, hey, if I don't constrict myself, nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah, and quite the opposite. You feel so free, and you just feel like you rather than this wearing a mask, I guess.
Yes.
Who you think people expect you to be rather than who you actually are, and it's okay.
That's right. And yeah. So isn't that fantastic, Nicole, that in your dream, essentially, that whole yard of potentially constricting, writhing pythons actually turns into one silver purple python, which in a sense turns into a lovely toy unicorn.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Wow, thank you. It's amazing how you've broken all that down. It just makes perfect sense now.
It does, doesn't it? So I think all your constrictions are in the past. And if ever you slightly get a revisit of that theme of suddenly thinking, hang on a minute, I thought this was gone, I'm feeling a little bit constricted here.
Yeah.
The thing will be to transform that feeling into the feeling of a toy unicorn. So that's the alchemy that I'm going to give you at this point, because it's so true in life that when you think you've solved something, we do solve our issues, but quite often they kind of come round again just to test.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see how I handle that. So it's going to be quite interesting to have something up your sleeve to deal with it. So what I do, and we're just going to finish in the next couple of minutes, Nicole, but what I do is we do step one is understand yourself through understanding the dream. That's essentially the dream interpretation. And then step two is to create and prescribe a dream alchemy practice. So it might be a visualization, it might be artwork, it might be body work, it could be all kinds of things. Mm. But what we essentially do is take one or two symbols from the dream and transform them. So what that does is it's a way of talking with your unconscious mind to transform unconscious beliefs that may not have been working so well for you into unconscious beliefs that work better, or to take an unconscious belief, a recently transformed one shown in a dream, and amp it up. So you'll get this more when I give it to you. But my thought is to My thought is to actually, I always have to take a moment to think about what I want to do here. Yeah, I think with you, I'll give you an alchemy which you actually do with your body to begin mm-hmm. with, and that you can short form later to do with your mind. And it's the sense of any time that you just maybe feel a little bit of fear coming in, or a slight return of the constriction, or you just want to simply reinforce all this wonderful stuff that you've got from looking at your dream, I want you to actually stand up and slightly tilt your head upwards so you're looking up to the ceiling,
yes.
seeing those pressure points and the light, only this time not even the silver purple python coming through, just a little toy unicorn plops down, maybe it's silky and shiny, and you reach out your hand and you catch it, and you just laugh. You just laugh out of sheer joy and being in the moment.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank yeah. you. I can see that. I can, yeah, feel it.
So yeah. by actually doing it with your body, you feel it and put out your hand and actually engage with the positive emotions when you do it. And over a period of time, you'll find that, you know, you might be even in a conversation with someone and just get a tinge of it, and you don't have to sort of stand there and go, oh, just hit pause with this conversation while I look at the ceiling and hold up my hand. You'll just get in contact with that energy.
Yeah, excuse me for a moment while I get my unicorn.
Yeah. I just want to cuddle my toy unicorn at the moment.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having you on the show, and really look forward to seeing where you're going with all of this, Nicole.
Yeah, it's very exciting, and it's just wonderful to get that understanding of it, because it just makes perfect sense. It's brilliant. Thank you.
That's lovely. Many blessings.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you. I told you that was a nice dream, didn't I? I bet that's one that you'll really want to pass the link around and share with not only people that are interested in dreams, but maybe people that just want to be a little bit uplifted and gain some of those insights that we all need from time to time about life and how to handle it and how to flow with great big breakthroughs. Now, I did speak to Nicole after recording that, and I invited her, if she wanted, to give her website address. And if you're a guest on the show, of course, normally it's totally confidential, but she said, yeah, like I just said in the dream, I'm totally open and I'm really excited about my new website and this new arm of my business, so I'd love people to see. So I've also will put the link on the blog that goes with this podcast, but it is www.healthywomentv.com. healthywomentv.com, and that's of course healthywomentv all one word .com. So go along and have a look there, and remember to have a look at my blog too, janeteresa.com, or my website dream.net.au. Have a wonderful month. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Isn't it wonderful that there are so many beautiful people in the world willing to share their dreams? And isn't it also wonderful that there are an infinite variety of dreams, which is why I just love my work. Have a lovely 4 weeks, many blessings, and our next episode, episode 143, will come out on the 20th of September. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.